Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf, and I thank you for getting up early this morning as we start the NFL season and we shift the Sports Edge to an earlier start at 7 a.m. Now, if you recall, on last Sunday's show, we had a most vigorous discussion of the rise and growing impact of travel and club teams and really what their continued rise may mean to high school sports. I mean, if we know, for example, that while high school programs continue, for the most part, to take a kind of a wait-and-see approach with school opening and with sports, truth is most travel programs have been operating since this past June and have been going at it full speed and are operating right now into the fall. And to that end, we had a couple of callers last week who suggested that it would be a great help if travel programs were at least overseen by an independent association or a group, something like like Consumer Reports, or having an association that is like a seal of good housekeeping, some kind of outside governing body to provide some real supervision and a sense of assurance, not only to the sports parents who pay for these travel teams, but to the travel team operators themselves. Now, I thought that was an intriguing observation, especially because the suggestion was coming from travel team operators themselves. That is, they're the ones who think that third-party oversight would really benefit everyone. And to that end, I decided I wanted to talk with Bobby Germano. Bobby, who runs the North Jersey Vipers, a well-known, highly respected travel softball program, and Bobby has owned and run the Vipers for a decade. And I'm eager to get his perspective on what's happening with travel programs these days. He's one of the club team operators who would welcome some real oversight from a third party. And we'll, of course, take your calls and comments, observations, as always, at 1-877-337-6666. But first, Bobby, welcome back to the Sports Edge.
Rick, good morning. Thanks for having me, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's get into this for a second. Let's first outline for our listeners who may not be aware of the Vipers and your program. I mean, you told me that you and your staff have something like 100 girls on softball teams, ranging from, 10 through 18. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, and your program doesn't charge for trying out. The annual fee, the Vipers goes all year round, from the fall, winter, spring, and into the summer. You run around $3,000 for the program. And is that all correct so far?
That's right.
Okay, so when we talked the other day, you used, I thought, a very, very solid analogy. For example, during the week in your full-time job, you're in the mortgage business, which back in the early 2000s, we all know this, the mortgage business really didn't have any oversight. And it wasn't until the financial collapse of 2008-09 that consumers were on their own to try and figure out which mortgage broker was legit and which mortgages were good to have, and so on and so forth. And you sort of view the mortgage business as being something like the travel team industry, as being something that's out of control, sort of a wild, wild west, because there's no real protection for consumers. Yeah, expand upon that analogy, if you would, Bobby.
Yeah, the similarities are staggering. When I entered the mortgage business back in, it was my high school summer job. So I would play baseball and I would work in the for my dad's mortgage company during the summer.
Yep.
And what I saw from early on is there was the training was whatever you wanted to train yourself in. There was no minimum standard, so loan officers were recruited. They were taught kind of on the job. You would make a phone call, speak to a potential borrower, and you would learn by mistake, by error, but some successes. There was really no best practices, anything like that. And in the early 90s, some consumer protection started coming in. There were always some, but it was very open to interpretation. In the early 90s, there started becoming some high-cost provisions and some capital requirements and things like that. But for the most part, again, there's no barrier of entry. And that's where the similarity is with the travel and club world, is that there's really no barrier for entry. There was no capital requirement for mortgage brokers really to enter. If there were in certain states, it was very minimal. With the 2008 mortgage meltdown, the lenders that survived and the lenders that really grew to prosper after those changes are the ones that embraced what you're saying. The mortgage industry started requiring loan officer and company national registrations in a national database. They started mandating 20 hours of loan officer training, state licensing, background checks, fingerprint checks, credit checks, so that there would not be the risk of somebody trying to get themselves out of a foreclosure by overcharging a borrower. So all those types of consumer protections were put into place in the mortgage business. So when you translate that into our world here in the sports business, there's a lot of similarities. It's pretty eerie, but the ones who want to go and be successful here would embrace it because it would all be for everybody's protection.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, you used the term, for example, like, no barrier of entry, meaning in the terms of the travel world that anybody, and I've said this for years, anybody can put out a shingle and start their own travel team. You don't have to apply. You don't have to fill out paperwork. You just say, okay, I'm starting a team. You can basically decide, what sport, what age bracket, who the coaching staff's going to be, how the tryouts are going to be run. It's pretty much left to the individual entrepreneur. And again, the sports parent, the consumer, has no real way to do any homework or to check on this or have any place to go and complain if there is a problem. So when you say, as somebody who's run a successful program, and I know you go to great lengths to make sure you are very transparent about the Vipers, it's got to sort of make you nuts every so often when another travel program pops up out of nowhere, and you just sort of say, wait a minute, this travel program, it's not like you don't have a problem. I mean, look, everybody can be entrepreneurial. That's great. That's fine. But it sure would be helpful if there were some basics to make sure that program was going to be legitimate, and the parents who pay the fare for their kids playing these travel programs, if they had some sense of reassurance of what was going on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When I say no barrier of entry, in order to hang your shingle,
yep,
you need an insurance policy, which is not difficult to get. A lot of the bodies that are out there that will sanction tournaments and things like that, things of that nature, they will offer insurance on their website. So it's really go in, register, pay your fee on your credit card, and you can be insured. You need 12 players to get one team. There's no set standard on what to charge. And again, the entrepreneurial spirit is critical. But you can charge whatever you want. You need to get facility access, whether that be your basketball court, field, whatever sport you're in. Our mm-hmm. case, it's softball fields.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are in the Northeast, there needs to be a year-round component, so there needs to be some kind of an indoor access. And then figure out what leagues and tournaments to play in. And there are so many options, and just to piggyback on that for a second, I did some research in preparation of being here. Within a 30-minute drive of where we are, there's anywhere from 15 to 20 other club programs that I know of. I had a conversation with one of our coaches last week that they were in contact with a team to set up a scrimmage, and it was a program I never heard of, and that's great. Our first responsibility is to the game, and if kids are playing and there's a program that's out there that's offering that opportunity, that's a great thing. We all need to embrace that kids are playing this sport that we love. That's great. But the thing is that we had no idea who they were, and okay, that's fine. So what's the risk to that? But within 30 minutes, there's 15 to 20 that I know of. Within 60 minutes, there are 60 programs minimum that I know of that are out there. And then if you look at the rankings in the tri-state area on one of the websites that I looked at, there's over 200 teams on record. Those are ones that are registered with that body in the tri-state area that are out there. So 200 options. And you think about all those kids and all those parents and all those interactions and all those coaches and everything else. I think 95%, 98%, hopefully 99% are great. But, you know, there's certainly a risk factor there that should be looked at and looked at seriously, because you don't want everybody to get impacted by a couple of things that, if you look back, could be easily addressed.
We're talking with Bob Germano, who is the owner of the North Jersey Vipers, a softball program. We're talking, he's being incredibly candid about what it's like to run a travel program, and the fact that, as you just heard, talking about the fact there are literally hundreds of competitive programs. And travel programs, of course, did not exist 20 years ago. Now they're everywhere, not just in Jersey, but clearly all over the country in every state. They are started by sports enthusiasts, usually many times their parents, who want their kids to play against what they feel is better competition, or have a season go longer to get more in-depth coaching. But again, as you just heard, there is no real barrier of entry. Anybody can do this. You just basically, depending on the sport, as long as you get a facility, whether it's a basketball court, and you obviously rent that, or you a field for softball or baseball, you get the insurance, and you get the word out, and put up a website, and you're ready to go. I mean, it's as simple as that. Particularly in this day and age where we've had so much economic turmoil due to the pandemic, I would imagine we're going to see even more people go into the travel sports business. Again, a few years ago, Time Magazine said that the youth sports industry, a lot of which is obviously the travel and club teams, is a $17 billion industry. $17 billion, I'm going to give you a point of comparison, Major League Baseball is a $9 billion industry. So you can see what I'm talking about, that this is a huge operation. And you know, Bob, you were very kind. You said that you thought maybe as many as 98% of most of these teams are well run and they're legitimate. I think that's being probably a bit optimistic, because the fact is, and we know this, that travel programs are for profit operations. There may be a few out there which are 501c3 designations as non-for-profit, but most of them are running because somebody says, this is a way I can basically provide some sort of extra sports, perhaps for my son or my daughter, but also I can make some money off of this. And as I said, I think that's where parents, especially naive parents who haven't been through this before with their son or daughter, may all of a sudden run into different kinds of philosophies, roadblocks, concerns about playing time. You name it. I mean, this is what we're talking about. And again, travel programs, as I said a few minutes ago, whereas the high school sports seasons are being postponed or delayed, travel programs are up and running and have been all summer.
Yeah, they have. We're in a tournament this weekend. We have three of our teams there in Central Jersey. They're doing a great job. I think they're doing some really good things with the COVID compliance stuff, with keeping the dugout areas clean and the food stations and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, if you were to put, if you were to take a 20,000 foot view from above and look down, it would probably look very similar to what you're used to seeing. Historically, it's great. The kids need it mental health wise. It's awesome.
Yeah, there was a study a week or so ago about the mental health concerns with high school athletes. Obviously, those kids who did not have a chance to play in the spring, their sports seasons due to the pandemic, and the fact that the kids, not surprisingly, were depressed. Well, I'm thinking, yeah, if I was an athlete in high school, and I'd be very, very angry and upset that I couldn't play for my high school team last spring, But the fact is, if you're a serious athlete, you're probably playing on an outside travel program. And so those kids just said, okay, I missed my high school spring season, but I'm playing for my travel squad all summer and into the fall. I mean, it's, again, for parents today, the reality is that, yes, you definitely want your son or daughter to play high school sports because of the great connections, the friends they're playing with, and so on and so forth. But if the kid has any chance or thoughts of going on to play at the collegiate level to be scouted and recruited, they're going to have to play on a travel team. And that's where parents have to really sort of figure out, okay, which programs are the best, which ones are the best run, can I afford it, what kind of commitment is this going to be, and so on and so forth. And that gets back to my original question today, Bobby, you're talking about the fact that we have to get to a point where we have some real provisions for parents to understand that travel teams need to be investigated, to have a sense of transparency, to be parents need to be assured that they're signing a kid up for a legitimate operation. Okay, let me take a time out. We're talking with Bob Germano of the North Jersey Vipers, and we want to talk about, you know, the evolution of travel programs and how they're going to, you know, continue to rise, and they're going to have parents asking more and more questions about how they're run. And I'm eager to get everybody's thoughts and comments at 1-877-337-6666. When I come back, we'll start taking some calls. Stay with me. Welcome back to the Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. We're talking this morning with Bobby Germano of the North Jersey Vipers softball program. We're doing kind of a deep dive into the inner workings of travel and club teams, and not only how prevalent they are all throughout our whole area, but all over the country, but also what it means to start and to run a program. And again, we've reached a certain point here with our youth and amateur sports where, quite frankly, we know, of course, of the issues with the pandemic and the high schools and school districts trying to figure out what's the best time to start and which sports are high risk and low risk and whatever. But the travel programs have been running all summer and it continue to run into the fall and into the winter. I'm going to take your calls, friends, at 1-877-337-6666. But, Bobby, I am curious, what do you hear from the girls in your program regarding their own high school softball programs, and what's their reaction to the fact that their season was canceled last spring, and hopefully they'll play in the spring at a shortened season? How are they reconciling what's happening with their high school teams as opposed with their travel softball programs?
The high school teams losing their season was tragic for a lot of them. They put in so much work. The shutdown started right as they, in New Jersey anyway, started just as they went back. I think they had 3 or 4 days of practice and that was it. We had a lot of kids primed for an incredible year, you know, from freshmen to seniors. We had our sophomores through seniors that were a lot of all-county and all-league-type candidates, and some looking to get into their – some looking to have their send-off year before they were going to their colleges, which they were pre-committed to. So losing that season was brutal. For my own daughter, she was going to be able to follow up on – a county championship and really cement herself with success. And, you know, she lost that, and it was tragic. But what we were able to provide was a venue for them to go and take that that pent up frustration, I guess, and mm-hmm. and they're wanting to work and they're wanting to compete, and give them that outlet. So, you know, when the governor opened up return to play in June, I think it was, we were right there ready to go, and we set up our protocols and we were there. So we were able to provide them something. I can't imagine where these kids would have been between their Zoom calls and not being able to go to their friends' houses and all those things without this sport in their lives. We were able to fill a gap there that was, I can't even measure it, but the loss of their high school seasons can't be overstated. It was a big blow.
So basically, you do feel deep down, obviously being a sports dad yourself, that high school sports and travel programs can coexist?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm a big proponent of it, because I know that our vision here at the Vipers is a little bit different than some others, and that's okay. I think that's what makes the difference and the exploration for the parents really essential because they need to pick the program that's best for them, and we're not for everyone, and everyone's not for us, and that's okay. But we fully embrace that high school experience because being a high school athlete myself, it's like that rite of passage where you're playing for your community. You want to see where you fall in the line of all the great athletes in your town or your school district that preceded you and that will come after you. You know, where do you rank on your scoring records, hit records, pitching records, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But do you have the opportunity to put another banner in that gym that you attend? And you're playing for your community, and that's something that the club world cannot provide. And it's essential to their experience, and it's something that we fully support. We tell our younger players, Rick, that when they are at like 12 and 14, say, look, you're going to get much better playing here. We're going to teach you all the fundamentals and the how to hit, throw, whatever. But we don't want you to just make your high school team. We want you to go in and start on your high school team. We want you to go in and say, wow, our Viper practices are harder than this. This is easy. So we are setting them up to succeed in their high school program so that they can play their part in that lineage of their school districts.
Well said. Okay, let's get this one of our callers at 1-877-337-6666. Let's start our conversation this morning with Ed over in Queens. Ed, good morning. You're first up on the Fan with Bobby Germano.
Thank you. Good morning. I listen to your program. Really enjoy it. There's not too many programs unless you're unique. Let me get that out of the way.
Thank you.
My question is, I've been involved in Little League sports and all of them, but specifically baseball, because that's what I do. I love teaching the game. Mm-hmm. And my question is, with all the travel programs, they've been around a long time. How do we get our Little Leagues that are kind of disappearing, the kids that are good players and their parents do go to travel teams, but where can we find a three-inning player or the kid that didn't, you know, just wants to play, or the parents just say, hey, I don't want competition. I just want my kid to enjoy the game, learn the game, and hopefully then he can choose what he wants to do when he's older. So my other connected question is, what happened to Little League Williamsport, RBI, Babe Ruth baseball sponsored by Cal Ripken? Could these people come in and say, hey, let's form something else to get, you know, to keep our population growing? It's hard in the inner city. It's hard when populations change, dramatic change. So those are my concerns.
Ed, those are good questions, and I thank you. And it's funny, I've been thinking about doing a show because, as most baseball fans know, Major League Baseball is doing is in the process of doing a major overhaul of all baseball in this country, trying to put everything under the roof of Major League Baseball. You know, of course, the minor league season was canceled this year. They cut back the draft to just a few rounds. They're getting rid of 40 minor league teams at the grassroots level. They're trying to do things with youth baseball. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens with Major League Baseball trying to unify the corner, you know, Baseball One. You know, I just don't know. I think Major League Baseball has a real roadblock in terms of how it's marketing itself to younger kids. Little League Baseball is obviously flourishing, but even Little League Baseball, we all know at the end of the regular season, the elite players are then selected to go play to compete to play in Williamsport. It's a travel mentality, and you know it's going to be curious to see how all this plays out. Now, Bob, I know you were a top ball player when you were coming up through the school ranks. What is your sense about what's happening here?
It's going to be interesting to see what you just described. From the softball side on what we do, we run into those same situations. And you know, I said earlier, our first commitment is to the game, and we have to get kids playing this game, you know, and whether it's for my organization or a competing organization or a new startup organization, if kids are playing, the game wins, and that needs to be first, and that mm-hmm. should be central in everybody's mind. Unfortunately, I don't think it is, but in my mind, that's what's critical. So if somebody's playing, that's great. What are the options that are there? What I've seen from the town rec programs, and, you know, I'm in northern New Jersey. It's a suburban area, so, you know, there are the town rec programs. I can't speak to the boroughs and the city and the changing population. But for here, there's been a decline in the rec sports as well. I refer to it more as almost like a a program that needs to be offered. The quality of the program is not really reviewed. It's just, okay, we offer it, let's check the box, let's move on, and then the safety protocols and everything come under that.
Yep.
So you're right. It becomes, just like you're saying in Major League Baseball, I'm not comparing myself to them at all, but it needs to challenge me, because with 200 teams that I am competing with, where am I finding my next group of players? I've got to go out and offer my product in free settings, whether it be clinics, whether it be come to our tryouts. Hey, here's some videos. Here's this. Reaching out to the league directors that are local, so that they can get an awareness of who we are. So the kids that do want to learn about it, they can, and then we can offer that lower level program for the casual player, and then the ones that want to commit to do more, we have that kind of step up offering. So in a similar way, I am in the same thing where I have to go out and find the kids to get them to play. And again, in our game, and same thing in baseball, we have one baseball team here, and the challenge that we have, and you know, probably take the softball numbers and double them, there's probably 400 teams in within the tri-state, maybe 600, whatever. But having said that, there is so much competition in other sports. The baseball softball thing, it's a very slow game. At the young levels, they don't want to play it. They can go to lacrosse, football, soccer, whatever it is. We have to get them to love our game at the younger levels. So we've got to create ways for them to embrace it. The standing around practices, the standing around games, are killers to our sport.
I was going
to
say, I mean, that's the first thing I would do is just say, look, you can't run a practice which is in slow motion. Kids today, as you just said, they've been accustomed and they've been groomed on fast-paced action. The idea of just, the coach is going to throw a batting practice. Everybody else go out and shag in the outfield for 2 hours. That kills the sport. And
yeah, it's just that's a death knell. You're done.
Let's get back to our callers. Now, our next caller is somebody I should have put two and two together, but I didn't know that Jack Smithlin and the Germano family were well connected. But obviously, when it comes to softball in Jersey, Jack Smithlin and you, Bobby, and I guess your sister are well connected. Jack, good morning.
How are you guys? How are you, Bob?
Hey, Jack. Good morning.
Hey. Everything good, Lord. You know, Bob was a great athlete from what I remember, but his sister Laura was a lot better, I think. But I coached Laura in high school. But, you know, talking about club teams, and, you know, when I followed Bob and his program for a while, and, you know, the key to it is that they do it right. You know, when you talk about $3,000, and I hate mentioning money, but that's peanuts compared to what a lot of these organizations charge. You know, even for a three-season program where they take a break maybe one season, but they're training. And what Bob does, I mean, I'm familiar with two other programs that are run very similar to Bob's. I mean, not the same mission. I think Bob's mission, I read, is just fabulous. I think it's a great situation for kids to be developed. And I know Baseball's Finest by Greg Conway. It's mostly baseball, not so, you know, he's getting softball. And the Fred Hill program or academy in Verona, they're starting out now. Pete Connell started hiring. But in order to get it right, in order to do the right things, you need to do it the way Bob's program is being run and Baseball's Finest. They are developing kids. And they're not charging off-the-chart monies. They're not, you know, causing you to have to go out and remortgage your house. I mean, they're not doing things of that nature. And, you know, when we talked about club balls and club sports, you know, it's something that is here. It's not going away. It is taking over high school athletics. And like Bob and like you, Rick, I would hate to see high school athletics diminished because of it. I mean, his daughter they won the county championship in Bergen County. That's a big, you know, that's a hotbed in Jersey, is North Jersey softball. And to beat some of those great teams, you know, she's a tough one. So, you know, when you talk about it, and is it taking over our high school athletics? I believe it is. Because right now, all these kids who are becoming juniors in high school, your 16U program, Bob, and those 16U programs out there, they are the ones that are trying to showcase their talents for colleges. And if we don't have high school athletics, you're it. You're the showcase. And when you do it right and you can draw people in, and Bob, your program draws scouts, college recruiters in, and that's one of the things that these guys always promise. They always promise, oh, I'll get you in front of the best college, you know, recruiting coaches in the world and the pros for baseball. And there are certain programs that can provide that. Your program does provide that. And that's what, you know, when you're going to promise something, you got to do it. Rick, in your book, and I mention it all the time, The Sports Parenting Edge, a book that you wrote 20 years ago, you wrote a whole chapter on what to look for in a travel and club team before club teams were even out there.
Yeah.
So, listen, Bob, you're doing it right. Keep up the great work. Let's try to get together and get something going. You know, me coaching at the college level now, you know, Division III is a tough program in New Jersey, one of the best in the country. So, and just keep doing it right. Keep Laura in your program, and, you know, and you'll keep it strong.
Thank you very much, Jack. I just echo what Jack had just said, Bob. I guess the one thing that people who are new to kids who are going to travel programs, is it fair to say that yes, of course, you're going to offer personal instruction, maybe tougher practices, more of a deep dive into the skill training. But is it true that you find that the reason the kids come to travel programs is because there's this lure that at some point, if they progress and develop their talents, they will have a chance to get their game and to showcases in front of college coaches and perhaps get a college scholarship?
It's segmented. We come out in our mission statement, I guess, as Jack said.
Yeah.
We're very clear on who we are. We're also clear on who we're not. We do, you know, we did recognize a long time ago in doing this that you do need to have that offering and you do need to provide that forum for kids that do want to get to the next level.
Yeah.
And it's great. I embrace it. There are all varying approaches to it. There are some programs that, you know, the leadership of the program will not allow you to contact coaches on your own. There are some that are still doing it the way it was probably done 10, 15, 20 years ago, where they call the coaches themselves and they will set up meetings for you. And then there's ways of doing it today. You know, we have a platform that we utilize that we can provide the metrics of how many messages our kids are sending to college coaches, how many engagements with coaches that we have, how many video profiles that have been watched, how many messages have been sent, received, total engagements, how many players we have that have never looked at our platform. They haven't, but they've never created a profile. And so it's a numbers game still to get in. It's like a job search. It's no different. So there's a lot on the player that needs to do it. And through that process, they realize if they really do want to make that commitment. So we provide that forum. It's there. We've had tremendous success with it. We've had some that said thanks, but no thanks. And that's okay, but, you know, we have to offer it. We are very clear on what it is. We will help everybody. We will make those calls to colleges. We certainly do on a regular basis. But we're just going to make sure that the reputation of our program stays intact. We'll start making that contact when we know that our player is serious and drilling down into that program.
We're talking with Bobby Germano of the North Jersey Vipers softball, and again, we're doing, to my way of thinking, just a fascinating look into the inner workings of a very legitimate and well-respected travel program, and we're taking your calls at 1-877-337-6666. Bobby, let me take a pause here, a timeout, and when I return, we'll continue our conversation. I want to tell a story about a kid who played travel soccer and the problems that he ran into and his parents as well. Anyhow, stay with me. Back with more after this timeout. Just a quick programming note that following the Sports Edge this morning is the NFL preview show. As you all know, the Giants and Jets will begin their season today and on Monday night, so make sure you get what's happening with the NFL preview program. I always invite you to ask to follow me on Twitter at Ask Coach Wolf, and you can go to AskCoachWolf.com, my website, for a variety of books that I've written and other resources when it comes to sports parenting. My guest this morning is Bob Germano of the North Jersey Vipers. We're talking about travel sports and you know what it's involved to run a program and do it in a legitimate way, and why there needs to be some real oversight and supervision of these programs. So, you know, again, we want to make sure the sports parents who are paying real money are knowing what they're paying for is going to be legitimate. Let's go back to our calls. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Mike, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on. Yeah. Very familiar with Bob's program. My daughter had tried out a few years back. She was a very good high school softball player, and we made the team. We just decided to go somewhere else because of proximity of where we live. But outstanding program, and I found this program by doing my research, and I think that's part of the problem, that parents don't do their research. They're just happy their kid makes a team, they can pay some dollars, and they think it's going to be a little better than Little League or much better than Little League. So I guess my question is, in terms of oversight, what would you be looking for? I'm actually on my way right now to my 12-year-old son's club team game, and we're very happy. It's one of the teams that your last caller mentioned, very happy with the coaching staff because we did our research. But as a small business owner, oversight is expensive. It's time-consuming. What would you say would be the right level of oversight, or what would you be looking for specifically from someone who owns a club team?
Mike, that's a good question. Bob, being a sports parent yourself, why don't you take a crack at that?
Thanks for calling, and I'm sorry that we weren't able to have your daughter in the program. But there are some national organizations out there that offer some things, but you know, it's kind of disjointed, and I think their intentions are good. One governing body says they have 150,000 organizations. They offer resources on one-on-one interactions, preventative training, team travel, roster management. There's Safe Sport out there on sexual misconduct and awareness, things like that. And you know, if you were as a organization, so just like in our mortgage business where we have to register and get certified and get licensed and those kinds of things, I think where you said you did your research and your due diligence, and that's key, that's critical. And like I said, you know, for us, we're not for everybody, and everybody's not for us, and that's great. Your daughter played, and that's the key thing. But if I was doing my due diligence, I'd want to know that the organization I was with had that type of depth, had that scale, had that training. I mean, like, I spoke to somebody yesterday because we're going to be going into the indoor portion of our season pretty soon as the daylight savings comes to an end and we get into the cold weather months, where my protocols have to evolve for the coronavirus compliance. And I'm going to have a training program with all my coaches on what do you do if the temperature check doesn't work? What do you do in this case? And it's got to be very formulated and if-then type stuff. So my point being is that I would want to know that the organization I was with, that the coaching staff was who they say they are, that they are aware of all those types of things, the sexual misconduct, the one-on-one background checks, do I have somebody with a criminal background check, whatever. I'd want to know all those things were there, because by the same token, there are programs out there that if you try and look them up, all you get is a Facebook page, and there is nothing there. I mean, of the amount of time, and again, not to self-promote the Vipers, this is just to give you experience. In the 10 years that we've been doing this, if I were to look back 10 years ago how we ran this thing and how we run it today, totally different. I would tell you that 80% of my time running this program has nothing to do with softball. It's about website management. It's about registrations. It's about field permits. It's about cutting checks. It's about making sure that coaches' needs are met. It's about making sure the facility is up and running, and I'm dealing with electricians and contractors and things of that nature. This weekend is the first time I am actually coaching softball in weeks with all the hours that I've put in. So I would want to ensure that my daughter was playing in a program that had all those types of things. And there's no certifications. There's no even best practices. There's no groups that come together and say, hey, let's do, how do you guys handle roster management? How do you handle escalations? Like, if you have an escalation, and is there a board? Do you go to the owner? What happens? You have no idea what it is. So, like, we put all that information out. I notice a lot of organizations don't. And that's where my transparency is critical, because ultimately, we are a customer service business. There's no need in the marketplace for another average club. So we have to be above average. And this is where my sports background and competitive nature takes over, is that when I see other organizations entering the marketplace, or I see other representations being made, and I lost a player for XYZ reasons, and that's fine, it challenges me to be better. So I've got to go out and figure out, okay, how do I overcome that? How do I prevent that from happening to the next kid? So that's where my approach is, where there's no certifications for anyone to take minimal training to show that they provide XYZ. And you want to make sure, I was joking with somebody yesterday, if I put a posting out there and just used a bunch of superlatives in a name, we are the future gold, elite, rainbow, future Olympians. I wonder how many responses I would get.
Well,
it would be a fascinating experiment.
Bob, I'm listening to what you say, and this is exactly why I wanted to do this show this morning, because there are so many sports parents out there who are new to all this, and what you just, you know, basically went down and ticked off the fact that most of the job you do is of an admin variety. There are no certifications. There are no registrations. There are no oversight. There's nothing. And if you don't do your homework and do a lot of homework, you end up with your kid in a bad program. As you said, some programs just put out a Facebook page and people still come to it. It's just bizarre that we've been doing these things for so long and there's no oversight. I mean, I get a lot of calls, a lot of emails from parents who are outraged that their kid is on an elite travel program. I mentioned before the break, there was one young man who had played for 3 years in a very, very elite club soccer program and was dedicated to it and devoted to it and went to every practice, and it was a long commute and so on and so forth for 3 years. And then by the time he got to be between his junior year and senior year in high school, when he thought, now I'm going to the major showcases and now I can really get a chance to show the college coaches what I can do, suddenly the travel program, the club program, he got diminished playing time. And that's where the dad reached out to me and said, what's going on? I said, well, I have a feeling that the club program either feels that your son is not going to get a lot of attention as a college player, so they're just going to not have him play much. It was outrageous. It was wrong. It was really just unethical. And that's exactly what happened. The kid didn't get any substantial offers from college, even though he'd been in this program for 3 years and had bought into it and paid a lot of money. His parents had paid a lot of money, and it just didn't happen. I mean, it's just, and the program said, well, that's the way it goes. It's as simple as that. These kind of stories are just heartbreaking, and unfortunately, it happens all too often with these sort of unlicensed, unregulated, programs. They can do what they want to do, and if it doesn't work out for your kid, well, so be it. It's really heartbreaking. And as I said, since a lot of money is being paid, a lot of parents are counting on this for maybe the kid to get a college scholarship or partial scholarship. It's just outrageous. Bobby, I'm sure you hear other similar stories just like this. So that certainly the time has come. Time is right for somebody to say, okay, let's get a Consumer Reports of travel and club teams. Let's get an association to oversee all this to make sure that when you sign on your kid to a program like this, you know what you're going to get involved in, and if things go sideways, you have a way to get this corrected.
You know, you're right, and one of the things that you highlight all the time on your show is the cost-benefit analysis of what you pay in tuition for travel teams and what you could put towards college tuition, and the amount of money in our sport, softball scholarships is not a lot. And unless you are an elite skilled position player, you're probably not going to get anything. Division III gets nothing. You're better off putting all your efforts into your academics. My players and parents have heard me say this all the time. There is certainly money out there, and we will do everything we can.
tend to help you prepare to get that. But ultimately, the players have to go and pursue that, and we're the venue and the forum to help them do that. But you know, we are not going to come out and say we are going to get you X, because I can only control the controllable. I can't control what a college coach does, and in this day and age, with college coaches being they have seatbelts on them where they can't leave campus. Some campuses are closed. They send kids home. They are uncertain on the future of their seasons. Their recruiting has gone into an area that nobody has ever seen before. Anybody that tells you they know what's going to happen, they don't.
Yep.
And you have to kind of approach this thing, you know, a day at a time, a week at a time, and embrace the change that you're in and kind of figure it out, you know, through the maze that we're in. It's just another casualty of the pandemic time that we're in, and, you know, we've got to figure it out. And, you know, we think that we have got some solutions there, but we don't have all the answers, but we can help educate, and that's where we need to go. I can't promise I can educate and then provide the forum.
Thing is, and you and I are obviously both on the same page. It is all about education, educating the moms and dads who are footing the bills. As you outlined before, there were literally dozens, hundreds of travel club teams all over this area. There's no way in the world that there is no one website that basically parents can go to get a real sort of analysis of which ones are the best for their son or for their daughter. It's just really, again, the wild, wild west. All of them say, you know, the kids come out of our program, they'll go on to top college programs. Yeah, but we don't know what that means. Is a kid actually getting a full scholarship? Are they getting a partial? Are they even just making the team at the collegiate level? It's hard to get a sense of who's telling the truth and what isn't. So, again, if there's one takeaway from this, and I know you feel the same way, Bobby, it's got to be all about doing your homework as a parent. You got to do your due diligence, shop around, look around, see the programs, go to practices, see for yourself to see a sense of what kind of instruction's going on, how the coaches coach, and the interaction with the players and the coaching staff. Otherwise, you're just taking a big, big gamble with your money.
Yeah, a big, big gamble with your money. It's time that you can't get back. And, you know, the parents... hopefully they realize that it's a short window, and the experience that you want to provide goes way beyond the sporting experience. It's the life lessons that come along with it. You know, I pride myself that I think the life lessons that we give and the maturity and the accountability and everything that goes into being part of our organization, I'm more proud of that than if they get a hit with a runner on base. you know, that's the tangible part that we see, but the other part is more important.
I hear you loud and clear. Bobby Germano of the North Jersey Viper softball program, I thank you and I salute you, and I very much thank you for coming on early this morning to talk about the intricacies of running a travel softball program. Thanks, Bobby. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Rick. Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Tommy Lugauer. Please stick around for the NFL preview. That's up next. I'll see you next Sunday at 7 a.m. right here on the Sports Edge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.